Saturday morning, February 24th, 1945, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, when Saturday rolls around, that means it's yarn-spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sports fans gather every week at this time as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice, who has covered all the big sporting events of the past 30 years and has kept a sharp eye out, too, for good stories about sports. So let's join the fans now at the Sportsman's Club and meet Grantland Rice.
Well, I'm going to speak to the House Committee about the cigarette situation.
You and your cigarettes. Say, is Grantland Rice in yet?
Sure. He's been over there talking about baseball.
Just what I wanted to talk to him about. Oh, Grant.
Yes, Bill.
What's the latest on the baseball outlook, Grant?
Yeah, Grant.
Yes,
what is it?
Huh?
Well, still a bit confused. Most baseball men agree that the big problem isn't transportation, it's manpower. They can arrange the schedules to cut down the use of trains, but they're not so sure that they can get enough ball players to go around.
You mean they'll be calling a lot of 4F ball players into the Army, Grant?
Hey, do you think so, Grant?
It looks that way, fellas. You see, they took Walker Cooper yesterday, you know, the great Cardinal catcher.
Yeah.
So far, baseball has not been given the green light, and it would be a mistake to be over-optimistic until we hear from Congress on that manpower bill.
Yes, I guess you're right. But I see the clubs are going right ahead on their plans for spring training.
Yes, they are.
And that's about the only thing they can do. Keep on until they get a definite nod from Washington. Maybe we'll have a very unusual season this year. No All-Star game, no World Series. But however it turns out, it'll all add up to the best season in the interest of war. You can be sure of that.
That's right.
But say, Grant, what about the yarn?
Yeah, what kind of story you got for us today, Grant?
Oh, I've got one for you, a good one. And it doesn't affect wartime transportation or manpower either. It's the story of a hunting dog, one of the best ever written. James Street is the author, and it's called The Biscuit Eater. The story begins when 7 new arrivals come to Harvey McNeil's place down in the Piney Woods County of Mississippi. And 2 young men were soon on hand to welcome the furry little strangers.
Well, hello, boys.
Morning, Papa.
Howdy, Mr. McNeil.
Up kind of early, ain't you, boy?
We come to see Bonnie Blue's new puppy.
Oh.
That's right, Mr. McNeil.
We can see him, can't we?
Oh, I reckon so. Be careful of him. Come on in the shed.
All right.
Well, there they are, boys.
Golly.
All 7 of them. And Bonnie Blue.
Look at them little old pups.
Golly, they sure is little. Ain't hardly got the eyes open, Mr. McNeil.
No.
Could I hold one of them, Papa, could I?
Sure, Lonnie. But handle them easy. Old Bonnie's got her eye on you. You hurt one of them, and she'll jump you like a blue jay jumps a June bug.
Oh, I'll be careful. Hiya, puppy dog. How you doing, little old puppy dog? Bet these going to make first-rate bird dogs.
Yes, sir, bobtail.
Well, they ought to make good hunting dogs. Bonnie Blue was a grand champion in her day. Almost as good as our Silver Bell.
Mr. Ames's pointer?
Uh-huh.
That Mr. Ames sure owned a lot of super fine bird dogs.
Well, he's a sportsman, Tex. He likes dogs, particularly champions. That's why I like to work for him.
Bet these dogs will be champions, Mr. McNeil. Gee, my nanny, they'll take your birds easy.
Well, it's more than just that, Tex. They'll have to be trained, looked after for a long time. Maybe a year before they can enter the field trials. Have to take care of their eyes and ears, give them shots so they're healthy, right kinds of food.
Golly, they must be a powerful lot of trouble.
Nah, they're no trouble at all when you really love dogs. And you get a reward when you work when they're real champions someday.
Well, I'll just put you back with your mama, little old puppy dog, because you're going to be a champion someday. There.
Mr. McNeil, how long do you expect it'll be till these little old pups wins a ribbon at them there field trials?
Oh, they won't all be champions.
Huh? What do you mean, Papa?
Well, boys, there's a difference between those 7 pups.
There is. Looks all the same to me.
What makes them different?
The bloodline.
Huh?
Almost every litter of puppies has a doubtful strain. bad streak from their pappy or grandpappy who wasn't so good. That bad strain in the bloodline shows up in one or two pups of every litter.
Every litter?
Uh-huh. Now, you take these seven little pups. Their pappy was a fair to middling bird dog till he started killing sheep.
Yes, I know. What happened to him?
Had to shoot him, Text. That's the code of the Piney Woods. If a dog kills sheep or chickens, he has to die.
Oh.
That bad streak or strain most always shows up in a litter. Always comes out.
But how can you tell?
Well, it's not hard, Lonnie.
You mean one of these little old puppies is a bad one on account of his pappy?
Yeah.
Well, which one?
Yeah, this little scrawny one here on the end. Up you go. See the size of him, boys?
Uh-huh. He's sure a little puppy.
Yeah, he's a runt. Scrawny, spots all over him like freckles. Stringy tail. Never make a champion. In other words, this dog is just a biscuit eater.
Golly, a biscuit eater?
It means that's all he's good for, is to fetch his own food, his own meat and biscuit. Means he'll probably turn out to run rabbits and kill sheep and chickens just to feed himself.
A biscuit eater's a no-count dog, all right. But, Mr. McNeil, this little old pup don't look like a biscuit eater.
Hell, I'll tell you one thing, Tex.
Yes, sir?
This one won't be trained in my kennels.
Well, what you gonna do with him, Papa?
I'll have to take him away, son.
But why?
Well, this is just a no-count pup. Why, he'd be giving me nothing but trouble if I let him grow up.
You mean you're gonna kill him?
Now, don't look at it that way, son.
You shouldn't do it.
But, son...
I was a runt, I got freckles. Why don't you drown me?
Now, Lonnie, don't talk that way. There's a bad one in most every litter. This is just a no-good pup.
But it ain't his fault, Mr. McNeil.
Pop, I don't want nothing to happen to him.
I don't either. If and you don't want him, couldn't we have him, Mr. McNeil?
No, boy.
Please, Papa.
But, son...
Don't do nothing to him, Papa. We'd like to have him.
Now, Lonnie, I can't have him around my other dogs here in the kennel.
We could keep him at my cabin. My folks wouldn't mind.
Sure, we could do that, Papa.
Well...
We could train him to be our own special bird dog, couldn't we, Tex?
You bet.
Well, all right, boys, you can have him.
Oh, thanks.
But someday you'll be sorry, I'm afraid, when he starts chasing chickens and rabbits, maybe killing sheep. Just remember, Sonny, this little runt's just a no-good biscuit eater.
We got us a dog, Lon. A real show-enough dog.
Uh-huh. And it's all our own, too.
Ain't he a beaut?
Sure is, Tex. Come here, little old puppy. Come here, boy.
Look at them big old eyes, them big old feet. And that big old short tail.
Uh-huh.
Bet he can point birds from here to yonder. Bet if he tries, he can point partridge or light bread.
Well, he's a fine dog, all right. Hope your Aunt Charity don't mind us keeping him here at your cabin.
No, she don't mind.
You call him, Tex. See if he comes to you.
Here, pup. Here, pup. Here, puppy dog. Look at here, Lon. He comes right over.
Sure.
I just know he's going to be a fine bird dog when he grows up.
Well, I hope so.
Say, Lon.
Huh? What?
We ain't got a name for our dog.
Gee, no. We gotta have a name. What do we call him, Tex?
How about Moreover?
Moreover?
Uh-huh.
What kind of name is that?
It's a Bible name.
It is?
Well, sure enough. It's in the Bible.
Whereabouts?
I don't know, but I hear the preacher say so. He said, Moreover, the dog followed by Noah.
He did? Moreover, the dog.
That's right.
Well, if Moreover's good enough for the Bible, I reckon it's good enough for us. That's what we'll call her.
Hi, dear little pup. Your name is Moreover.
Yes, sir, Moreover.
What you think of that, huh? See there, Lon?
Uh-huh.
He likes a Bible name. Don't you, Moreover? When are we going to start training him, Lon?
Oh, sooner the better, I reckon.
Are we going to train him like your pappy trains his dog?
Sure. Near as I can remember how my papa does it.
Mr. McNeil, he sure makes champion bird dogs. Kind of wished he'd train our little pup.
Huh? Oh, he wouldn't. You heard him say he's a biscuit eater. Besides, my papa's too busy training Silver Bell.
Mr. Ames's dog?
Uh-huh. I just hope our little old pup turns out to hunt like Silver Bell. Why, she's already won 4 ribbons at the county field trials.
Golly. Bet Mr. Ames is a heap pleased with her. A real champion.
Uh-huh. He's up at our place now.
Mr. Ames?
Uh-huh. Comes down once a month to talk to my papa and see all his dogs. Guess we wouldn't do so good if it wasn't for Mr. Ames.
What you mean, Lon?
Well, he pays my papa for raising his hunting dogs and his champion dogs for the field trials. Because Mr. Ames likes to have pure D first-class bird dogs.
I'm glad he ain't got moreover.
Huh? Why, Mr. Ames wouldn't have no truck with our little old puppy dog.
Why not?
Well, on account of my papa says we got a biscuit eater.
Say, Lon.
Huh?
Look at moreover.
Golly, he sure does.
You reckon he really knows what a
biscuit... Don't say it. Huh?
Oh, no, no, we mustn't, must we?
Remember what that name means.
Yeah.
We got us a real intelligent dog here, Tex. We gotta be careful never to call him a you know what.
Golly, yes.
You just cheer up, little old puppy dog. We ain't never, never gonna call you that name again.
Here, girl. Come here, Silver Bell. Easy now. That's the girl. Well, here she is, Mr. Ames.
Hello there, Silver Bell. Oh, she's a fine dog, McNeil.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, looking better every time I see her. Aren't you, old girl, huh?
Yes.
All right, run along now, Silver Bell. Back in your kennel. Yes, she's a fine dog. I think we got every reason to be proud of her, McNeil. You've done a good job.
Well, thank you, Miss Ames.
Yeah, you giving her plenty of training in the field every day?
Every minute I can spare.
Good. Of course, the county field trials are a long way off, but this year, I want to make certain that Silver Bell wins the ribbon, McNeil.
And I think I know why.
Yeah, you guessed it. One more blue ribbon here, and the national trials at Grand Junction, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a big meeting up there, lots of fine bird dogs. But I think Silver Bell is a pointer to give them a run for their money.
Yes, I know. And your word's good enough for me. You've done a fine job of raising dogs, McNeil. And as long as they keep on winning all the meets and field trials, I won't ever complain.
All right, sir.
But seriously, McNeil.
Yes, sir?
You've got a big job on your hands, raising, training all these dogs. And you've been doing it all yourself as long as I've known you. You're not getting any younger, McNeil.
What do you mean?
Don't you think you ought to get some assistance? Hire some men to help you handle the dogs?
Well, I have thought about it, but... Well, I love these dogs, Mr. Ames. I understand them, and... Well, I'd be kind of afraid for just anybody to take care of them.
Yes, I know how you must feel about them.
Besides, with the war and all, I don't know where I'd find anybody to help me.
Hey, what about your son, Lonnie, and that little Tex fella? Couldn't they do a man's work?
Those boys? No, I'm afraid not. Maybe someday, but not soon. They've got an awful lot to learn.
Expect to be a high-rating dog making all that noise, huh?
Moreover, come here, boy. You just gotta be quiet when you're hunting birds. Then their quails are gonna fly away if you make a lot of noise.
They sure is.
Now, come on, let's try it again, moreover.
Go get them, dog.
Go get them. Tex, look at them go through the grass.
Huh? Sure move fast. And he ain't making a sound.
No.
He's a natural-born bird dog, Lon. Natural-born.
Oh, yes. And he ain't no biscuit eater.
Well, boys, still trying to train that dog?
He hasn't, Mr. McNeil.
We're going to use a shotgun over him tomorrow.
Oh, that's so?
Aunt Charity loaned us her gun.
Well, you boys be careful. I'm not worried about the dog, but don't hurt yourselves.
Easy now, moreover. Easy.
He's got it, Lon.
Hold that point. Fetch you, moreover. Fetch them birds.
Lon, he sure is a good bird dog.
Well, hello, son.
Hello, Papa.
Not working your dog today?
Oh, he's out with Tex.
Oh.
I wanted to ask you, Papa, about the papers on moreover.
Papers? What about them?
Well, I... That is,
Me and Tex, we want to register him.
Register?
Yes, sir. We'd like to have his papers if you got them.
Oh, I reckon they're around here someplace. But I don't see what good that'll do you. Only time you might need them was if you was going to enter a field trial. Were you thinking of running that dog in the trials at the county seat next month?
Well, yes, sir. That's just what I aim to do.
What?
I want to run Moreover in the county trials next month.
But you ain't serious, son.
Well, yes, I am.
But Lonnie...
stands a good chance to win as any other dog up there.
All right, all right. It costs money to enter a dog up at the county seat. Where'd you figure to get the entry fee?
I hadn't thought about that.
Well, son, you haven't a chance at the trials. Why, that dog of yours is just a biscuit eater.
He ain't a biscuit eater. He's just a little old dog, never hurt nobody. Why, he don't even like to be called a biscuit eater. Me and Tex ought to know he ain't a biscuit eater.
That still remains to be seen, Lonnie.
Well, anyway, me and Tex want to run him in the county trials. We want to give him a chance.
You mean it, don't you? Okay, son. I'll tell you what I'll do.
Yes, sir?
I'll give you and Tex a job painting old McKinnell houses. You can earn your entry fee.
Jiminetti!
Is it a go?
Yes, sirree, Bob.
I'll stake your dog to the entry fee if you want to throw your money away. But don't say I didn't warn you of one thing.
What do you mean, Papa?
Silver Bell's entered in that field trial, son.
McNeil, how's our champion? Ready for the big show?
All set, Mr. Ames.
I saw you drive in a while ago. That's quite a load on your truck.
Well, yes, sir. Two boys and two dogs. Brought Lonnie and Tex with me.
But two dogs?
The boys have got a pup they're entering in the trial.
Oh, a little competition for Silver Bell, eh?
Well, not hardly. How does it feel look, Mr. Ames?
Not a thing to worry about. I've already looked over most of the entries, and our Silver Bell's in a class by herself. She can't be beaten.
How was he, Tex? How's our little old dog?
First rate, Lon. I've been a-brushing him down.
Gee, Moreover looks mighty fine. What'd you find out from the judges? Oh, it looks easy, Tex.
Here, do. When our turn comes, we get two chances to point a covey of quail out in the field yonder.
Uh-huh.
And then the judges watch the dog and me. And when Moreover's made a point, they give us a regular mark for how good he is.
Golly, hope we get enough marks to win.
Only one thing worries me, Tex.
What?
The judges paired up all the entries so two dogs are on the field at the same time. And our dog's gonna work the field with Silver Bell.
Silver Bell?
Uh-huh. We're the last two dogs on the meet.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Don't you see, Tex? Silver Bell is Mr. Ames's dog that my papa's raised and trained. Moreover was to beat out Silver Bell. Well, Mr. Ames is liable to get riled up and my papa might lose his job.
Golly, I never thought of that.
I want Moreover to win, but I wouldn't want that to happen.
Your pappy talk about it to you?
No, reckon he don't think we got a chance to win.
I sure wish we could win.
So do I, Tex.
Hey, here they come, both of them.
Huh?
Must have come from the judge's booth.
Well, well, well. Hello, boys.
Howdy, Mr. Ames. Mr. McNeil.
Busy, son?
Yes, sir.
So this is the other entry from the McNeil kennels, eh?
Yes, Mr. Ames.
Name's Moreover. He's a natural-born bird dog.
That's so. Hey, understand, boys, your dog's running against my Silver Bell. Last contest of the meet.
Yes, sir.
I hope your dog don't show up Silver Bell too bad in the finals. Hey, Mr. Ames?
Hey, we better get back to our kennel, McNeil. The field trial's about to start.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, boys, and good luck. Well,
thank you, sir.
We'll meet at the truck, boys, when it's all over.
Yes, Mr.
Yes, Papa.
Hey, wait a minute, McNeil.
Huh?
That dog back there.
What about it?
You take a good look at that dog.
Well...
mighty well built. His legs, the muscles, the way he holds his tail.
He may look like a champion, Mr. Ames, but that dog's no good.
You don't think he's a threat?
That dog, not a chance. Why, Silver Bell couldn't lose to a hound like that. Dog that ain't been brought up right or proper trained. You take my word for it, Mr. Ames. That Moreover is just a biscuit eater.
And now, the final event of the afternoon. As before, the two competing dogs will be judged on performance. The way their reins are field and locate birds, and the weather hold apart. Might mention that the marks of the dogs competing so far have fallen way below the record set last year by Silver Bell. And now, the last two dogs, Fine Lee Red, the well-known and famous champion pointer, owned by Mr. Jefferson Ames, Silver Bell. And the second dog name of Moreover. Handlers and their dogs will now take places on the field.
Right, pitch! Get the forward pitch!
Well, Lonnie, won't be long now.
No, sir. Steady, boy. Steady.
Still think your dog can beat my champion, Silver Bell?
Yes, sir. I know he can.
Well, good luck anyway, son.
You men ready?
Yes, sir.
All set.
Then, turn them loose!
Go get him, Oliver. Go get him.
Say, would you look at that new dog go?
He's a keen dog, all right. What's his name?
Moreover.
He's moving fast. He sure means business.
Right, he's gone. Won't take him long to range the whole field.
That Moreover's a real dog, Mr. Ames. He's running circles around your Silver Bell.
Yes. I never saw anything like it.
He knows his stuff. He's already got one perfect point marked up, and your dog's still ranging the field.
Moreover, I thought that dog was a champion.
Huh? What'd you say, Mr. Ames?
Nothing.
Say, look, a new point. That Moreover's got another point.
And a perfect point, too. Why, this'll win the meet. If Lonnie can make him hold it.
That dog's froze up like a statue. I never seen nothing like it in my life.
Perfect. That dog's no biscuit eater.
Hey, look at the boy, the handler.
What?
Look, the boy's moving up behind his dog.
He shouldn't do that. He's liable to make the dog break his point.
If that dog breaks now, he'll lose the meat.
Lonnie, come back here. Lonnie.
He's getting closer and closer. What in this Sam Hill is the boy doing?
Why, he's talking.
Huh?
He's talking to his dog.
I never heard of that. What for? What's he saying?
Steady now, boy. Steady. Moreover, I wish you could win this meet. Right now, if you just hold still another minute, I reckon you could be champion. A real champion. I can't let you win, Moreover. Much as it hurts me way down inside. Because if Mr. Ames' dog don't win, my papa loses his job. I'll try to understand, little old dog. I'm going to make you break your point. I don't want to do it, Moreover. But I have to. Break that point, Moreover. You hear me? Break your point and let the birds go, Moreover. Break it. Break that point. You biscuit eater.
Lonnie, what happened, boy?
He broke his point. That's all, Papa.
But why, son? Moreover would have won the meet, Lonnie. Why did he break his point?
I reckon he just ain't good enough to be a champion.
Well, Mr. Ames, Silver Bell won again.
Yes. There's something about all this that I don't understand.
Well, the main thing's that we won, isn't it?
No, McNeil, that's not the main thing.
Huh?
Hey, I may drive down to your place tonight.
Tonight?
And I'd like to see Lonnie when I get there. Right now, I'm going to have a talk with the judges about that first prize ribbon.
Lonnie?
Yes, Papa.
What's the matter, son?
Nothing.
You haven't said a word for 2 hours, ever since we got home.
No, sir.
I wish you'd talk to me, son. Tell me what's wrong. Maybe I could... Oh.
Somebody at the door. I'll open it.
It might be Mr. Ames. He said he was driving down tonight.
Hello, Tex.
Hi, Dillon.
And my little old dog.
Lon, I couldn't keep Moreover down to my cabin. He just kept crying and carrying on.
Oh, he's happy now. Ain't you, Moreover?
Well, Tex.
Howdy, Mr. McNeil.
Still loyal to that dog after the trick he pulled on you today.
I couldn't hold him. He just had to see Lon.
Yeah.
He misses me, Papa. He don't want to stay down in the cabin.
Nevertheless, he'll have to. Say, I reckon that's Mr. Ames. I'll let him in.
He's sure a fine dog, Lon.
Moreover, I won't ever hurt you again.
Well, hello, Mr. Ames. Come in.
Hello, McNeil. Oh, Lonnie's still up. Good. Say, boys, I want to talk about this dog of yours.
What do you mean, Mr. Ames? What's the matter?
Yeah, it seems to be a lot the matter, McNeil. First of all, you were wrong about this dog. You don't know as much about dogs as I thought you did.
Huh?
Yeah, but it's partly my fault, maybe. You were both too proud of Silver Bell. I'm not proud enough of this dog.
What are you getting at, Mr. Ames?
Take a good look at Moreover, McNeil. You're looking at a champion.
A champion?
A champion?
I had a little talk with the judges after you left this afternoon. They gave me something that rightfully belongs to you and your dog. Here.
What? The ribbon.
Well, I'll be doggone, the first prize.
That's right, boys.
But
look here, Moreover. The first prize, blue ribbon.
What is all this, Mr. Ames?
Well, Moreover, happened to win the county trials today.
But Silver Bell...
I withdrew Silver Bell. Had her disqualified.
You what? But why?
I'll tell you why, McNeil, because your son's too much of a man to ever tell you himself.
Lonnie? What happened?
Lonnie threw the championship this afternoon so that Silver Bell could win. You see, somehow he had the mistaken idea that the field trial meant more to you and me than it should.
Is this true, son?
Yes, Papa.
No, I don't say I didn't hate losing the meet today. I thought Silver Bell was the greatest bird dog of all time. But it took a young man to prove I was wrong.
And I reckon I was wrong, too. From now on, Moreover's going to stay here where he belongs.
Jim Annette.
Gee, Papa, that'll be fine.
one thing more, McNeil.
Yes, Mr. Ames?
About the help situation. You think you might be needing some good, experienced dog handlers?
Well, I reckon I could use a couple.
Two, maybe?
Yes, but good men ain't easy to find these days.
No, but I happen to know two men who just fill the bill.
Well, who, Mr. Ames?
Well, two men I had in mind right here in this room.
That's a funny thing, Mr. Ames. I was thinking of the same two fellas. You reckon they'd be interested?
Golly, yes, sir.
I'll say. How about it, Moreover?
Moreover won that ribbon.
Yeah. Well, that's James Strait's story of a great hunting dog, the Biscuit Eater.
What do you have next week for us, Grant?
Well, I have a fight story for you.
Good.
It's called Punchy, and it's written by Don Tracy.
Hey, that sounds good.
You're going to like that
one. Fight story.
Well, see you next week, fellas.
See you next
week.
Long, Granny. Thanks a lot.
Today's story, The Biscuit Eater by James Street, was dramatized by Tom Goutte, and our cast included George Ward as Lonnie, James Bowles as his father, and Ronnie List as Tex, with John Griggs, Kermit Murdoch, John James, and Donald Bain. Grantland Rice was with us in person. George Crook was at the organ. Production, Garnet Garrison.
Remember, we'll be back next Saturday at the Sportsman's Club with another sports story selected by Grantland Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.